So we have a lot going on in our worship today. Baptism, we're celebrating commissioning our graduating seniors, and Mother's Day, and we are in the midst of a sermon series on money and possessions, which seems like a real downer to be talking about on this day. However, that being said, I'd like to encourage you to hang in there with me for just a moment, because where we're going with all this has more to do with our discipleship than anything else. One of the reasons why I feel like this is so important is that money and possessions are a great opportunity for us to live out our discipleship while simultaneously being one of the greatest challenges to discipleship. We decided to talk about this because the scripture says a lot about it. There are 2,350 verses at least that refer to money and possessions. I think that's because God knows that it's an everyday matter for all of us. Money plays a big part in all of our really big decisions, and it plays a part in most everyday concerns that we have as well. So last week we talked about the contrast between ownership and acknowledging Jesus' lordship, and today we are looking at the very clear invitation of what it means for us to be trustworthy or faithful, which applies to just about everything we are doing. So let me offer this prayer, and then I'll read the scripture. Lord, you have promised to meet those who seek your face. Come now, reveal your presence to us. Please quiet in us any voice but your own, that we may hear, receive, and live by your words. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 16. This is Jesus who is speaking. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one or love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's a very old story that I know I have told before, so this might sound familiar to you, but the story goes like this. There's a kid who gives his mom a bill for the work that he has done around the house. He lists it all out, he itemizes it, he monetizes it so that there's a dollar number behind everything that he does. So the list went something like this: mowing the lawn, and then he put however much money to that. Cleaning the basement, and then I like this one, making my bed, and then he added some emphasis to it by saying, every day. Picking up my dirty clothes, cleaning my room, emptying the trash, so he hands his mother this makeshift invoice with all these things listed and a total at the bottom of it. His mom receives this, ponder this just a moment, and then this wise mother writes out her own bill, itemizes it, and hers sounded like this: for bringing you into the world, no charge. For rocking you all night when you were sick, no charge. For wiping your nose and changing your diapers and bandaging your elbows and knees, for kissing 1,000 hurts, no charge. For staying up late when you are out, or staying awake when you are out late and worrying about you, no charge. For praying for you every day, no charge. For working extra hours and sacrificing time and money so that you had opportunities, no charge. We all get the point, right? That a child owes a debt to a loving parent that he or she can never repay. And when this works right, a parent gives all those things to a child with no strings attached, with no charge. And it is a symbol, is a teaching of what unconditional love really looks like. When it works right, the child's response to all of that has to do with their character. Obviously, one of the character traits that comes out of that is generosity and gratitude. But it's not about deserving or entitlement, consumption or acquisition there's something much deeper that happens when that goes as it should. Even when it doesn't work right, and even here this morning, I'm guessing that all of us can sense that something gets damaged and lost when all of our relationships become transactional. I would go so far to say that I think that something actually happens to us morally when everything turns transactional. No doubt there is something that happens to our souls and maybe even to our humanity. So Jesus in our scriptures today is doing a very blessed and very, very kind thing for us, trying to help us think about what true riches really are, what really matters most. Clearly, he is concerned about what it looks like to be trustworthy or to be faithful. And so he gives us some very helpful direction. The first one is this, that trustworthiness or faithfulness begins and happens in little things. Last week I told you about Howard Dayton's book, and that at the end of each chapter, what I like about it is he contrasts the difference between the way our society or our culture thinks about this and the way that Scripture or God tends to look at it. And here is one of the major things that in the society and the world we are always being drawn to, we are always being compelled to, the really big things, the really huge things, the crowded things, whoever has the most. In the Scriptures, it is just the opposite. If you want to have any idea about the kingdom of God, you must look small. To mustard seeds and yeast and leaven. We all live in Texas, so we are regularly reminded, right? Bigger is better. We supersize our fries and our sodas and our SUVs and even our church buildings. Our cities build bigger stadiums and convention centers where they draw the biggest crowds, and every big sporting event or entertainment event or concert is acclaimed by the size of its crowds. By contrast, and one of the reasons why I wanted you to hear Matthew 13 is that Jesus says, if you want to catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God, look to the little, the small things. So he gives illustrations of mustard seeds and leaven, yeast. The smallness of Jesus' story, his examples, and even Jesus' ethics can be off-putting to people. Their simplicity can actually offend. So all of us, as even disciples, we are tempted to find supplements to the story to make it a little bit more widely effective and even attractive. We will be tempted, without a doubt, to distrust the little gospel, especially when we compare it to the contemporary powers of our day. But Jesus wants us to be confident that though his word and his ethic do not seem big and they strike the world as irrelevantly small, they are, and the kind of people that Jesus is looking for, they are like seeds, big, big with life, or at least potential for life. So you graduating seniors, you are actually a helpful reminder to all of us about some of this, but also I hope this is helpful to you as you go forward, because as you approach graduation, it is a big thing. It marks completion and accomplishments, readiness to move on to the next stage and season of your life. But you also remind us that we, because your parents anyway, and most of the rest of us are thinking back to how you got started in different things and how you learned all these things that you know, how you grew into all the accomplishments that you have. And the reality is it all started small. Probably your parents read to you before you even knew the alphabet. And you had teachers that began with very small things to teach you the steps, whether that was to add or subtract or to multiply. Remember memorizing all those multiplication tables. You have to do all that before you can get to trigonometry or calculus or whatever it would be. And don't neglect how important some of those other things were, like playing catch in the backyard or the front yard, or shooting baskets on your driveway, or cooking with your mother, or setting the table or chores that you are doing, they are seed-like things. There is so much more in all of that if we're willing to look at it. It's the way that we learn hospitality. It's the way that we learn responsibility. It's the way that we learn what it means to relate to one another well. Now, all of you parents, we are always raising these questions about our children, right? So I'm just curious, how do you know if your child is about to turn 16 and you're about to give them the keys to the car? How do you know that they will take care of the car and the passengers that are in their car? Well, we look back to how maybe they took care of their bike, or maybe how they took care of some of their toys, or how they have treated their brothers and sisters or their friends in the midst of all this. To be trustworthy is to pay attention to the small things. I read this week about a prominent worship leader. He's a musician and a singer. He wrote this. He said, "I can sing my wife a song, but she really knows that I love her when I do the dishes, especially if it's unasked." Are we the kind of people that can be trusted with little things? Because if not, we will not really ever into the true riches. Jesus suggests another way to put ourselves to the test about this, and that is consider how we treat other people's things and property. I was just with my grandchildren, so I was watching this in terms of how they were interacting with each other's toys and all that, and for a while they were really great at sharing that, but then there came a moment where they weren't so willing to share. But how do our children do with dealing with other children's toys or scooters or their friends' books or their video games or their bikes? And what about us as adults? When we borrow someone's mower or someone's car, do we return it in good shape? Yeah, there you go. And how do we retreat? What about if we get to stay at somebody's vacation home? Do we leave it so that it looks as good as when we found it? And how do we treat rental cars and VRBOs and hotel rooms that we stay in and our employer's office supplies and so on and so on? All these little things. Hudson Taylor, the well-known missionary, said, "Small things are small things, but faithfulness with small things is a really big thing." Let me say that again. Small things are small things, but faithfulness with small things is a really big thing. Perhaps Mother Teresa offered us the most brilliant glimpse of the hope that lies in small things. She would say, "We can do not great things, only small things with great love," which seems to move us more to the point of what Jesus is saying. We can so easily be driven by our desires for big things, for bigger crowds, for great possessions, for more money, for impressing other people, that we forget the little things like caring for the people that are right in front of us, sharing what we have with others who don't have as much, tending to those who are more vulnerable. Those are the places we begin to discover the true riches. A third thought is that is not directly in the passage but seems to make sense to me is that I think Jesus' formula for being trustworthy in little things is also the way that we build character. Think about this, almost every aspect of character that you can think about. So those who refuse to tell those little white lies and are truthful about their golf score and are not trying to make themselves look better than they are, those are the small steps to integrity. When you admit that you are scared, when you examine your motives, when you stand up for the smaller ones or the more vulnerable ones around you, those are the small steps towards courage. When you put things away, when you do your chores, when you help without being asked, you are leading the small steps that take you to responsibility. When you ask God to forgive you for your mistakes or your hurtful words or those terrible thoughts, those are the small steps towards being a forgiving person. Richard Halverson, who was for a while the chaplain to the U.S. Senate, wrote this in regard to this and money. He said that Jesus Christ said more about money than any other single thing because money is of first importance when it comes to a person's real nature. Money is an exact index to our true character. Throughout Scripture, we find an intimate correlation between the development of a person's character and how he or she handles money. Want to be generous? Remember this. Whoever is faithful in very little things will be faithful in much. It's Mother's Day, and probably all of us can think back and remember some places where our mother was faithful in doing all the little things that reminded us of what unconditional love is really all about. Fathers too, grandparents, hopefully we all have many people that have done that. You graduating seniors, part of what I hope that you will take away with you is that sense that in the midst of all the big things that you're about to step into, to please pay attention to the little things. You'll find God in the midst of all of that, no matter where you may be. And for all of us, we never stop needing the reminder about this, and we never stop needing to learn what it means to be trustworthy with small things, so that we can look forward to those true riches. I hope that you recognize that what God most desires and the invitation to us this day is that we learn and we actually find ourselves drawn more to those true riches than to the worldly ones. And that will change our lives. Amen.